swing on down to Ricky's place, where the girls are refined and the men have good taste. A subtle joke, a touch of class, poured in a tall martini glass. Let's swing on down to Ricky's, down to Ricky's place.
Welcome to Rick's Martini Bar. This is Jerry McCarty here, as usual, with the lovely Kelly Maroney. Hello, Kelly.
Hello, Jerry.
And today, we have a special guest today. I'm so excited. A little reunion from the great Night of the Comet. We have the lovely, the talented, the legend, Sharon Farrell. Thank you for being here,
well,
Sharon.
Well, thank you so much. What an introduction.
Well, we have so much we want to talk about with you. We got from the Reavers to Marlowe to my favorite television show of all time, Hawaii Five-O, to soap operas, lots of stuff. But also, we're going to talk about Sharon Farrell, Hollywood Princess from Sioux City, Iowa, your book, which you wrote.
My book I wrote, and if you want to get it, you go to SharonFarrell.com. And
how do you spell it?
It's SharonFarrell.com. And it's got, my email address comes right to my house. And half the time, I get my phone number out to just everybody. And, I can send you a book probably a lot less than you can, I don't even sell the book. I sell my autograph.
Oh.
And you get the book free.
So if you get the book, every book is autographed if they buy it through SharonFarrell.com?
Yeah, because I sell my autograph for $20.
Awesome.
And then you get the book, and I always put in a surprise.
Ooh.
I always put a little surprise in.
Wow, a little something for
just
the...
I put in a surprise.
Nice.
That's what I do.
Nice.
Anyway, so there you go.
And there is so much dish in this book. This is a page-turner. I'm just looking at it right now. Sharon is very generous in that, and very kind in that she's not very withholding about stuff. She tells it like it is, and she is who she is, and she doesn't mince any words.
Gotta love that. But I gotta believe some of that is just your Midwestern upbringing.
Yeah.
So tell everybody the start, the fallback. Sioux City, Iowa. How did you get from Sioux City, Iowa to Hollywood?
I started out dancing. I was a ballet dancer. I started out dancing, and I got my ballet teacher used to take me to Denver, Colorado, and I used to dance with American Ballet Theater Company there.
Wow.
I was really good when I was really young, but then I grew, my legs didn't grow long enough. And my boobs were too big. I was top heavy, and my neck wasn't long enough, and my butt was too big. And I just didn't make it as a ballerina. But I did, I started dancing. That's how I started out. And then I got a job dancing, and they cut the dancing and gave me lines and paid me more money.
Hello.
Wow.
And that did it.
Uh-huh.
So I turned into an actress.
Right. That's awesome. And we were talking about your first film that you ever were in. But
that was my very first film. I went to New York City, and because I went there to dance.
Went to New York City first.
I went to New York City first. I went there to dance. And the dancing gig I got fell through. It was for children's theater. It was a children's theater thing. And the whole thing fell through. And so I just started pounding the pavement, going for interviews, and 480 Lex was a great big huge building on Lexington Avenue, and you could go in there, and there were just tons of photographers that take pictures and stuff. And one thing led to the next, and you just pounded the pavement, and in Variety, you'd get Variety, and it would show the jobs, and you'd walk, and you'd get them. And I was understudying Joey Heatherton, and, I was like, doing summer stock and stuff like that and commercials and stuff. And I got this movie called Kiss Her Goodbye with Elaine Stritch and Steve Hill. And I was in Cuba. And, why my book is good. Because along with my career, which was great, I've had a great career, I also had I've had a slew of fabulous lovers.
Oh.
My very first love of my life was Che Guevara.
Oh.
He taught me how to shoot a machine gun, and he took the first day I met him. Well, I was doing a scene with Steve Hill. And Steve Hill had to haul off and hit me. And I had never done one of those smacks before, and I didn't know what I was doing. And he was, they were like the cameraman, everybody was telling me how to do it, and we were practicing. And at the last minute, the cameraman said, I'm going to do it from another angle, and that they didn't tell me. And Steve hit me so hard, he knocked me out.
Oh.
Whoa.
He knocked me to the ground. I mean, I went out. He hit me. I don't know. He just, you think an actor like that would know better. But I don't know. Who knows? Anyway, maybe I made him mad and he wanted to smack me. I don't know. Okay. I've been smacked around a few times in my life.
Okay, Sharon.
So.
Well, we have to take our first commercial break.
Oh, okay.
But when we come back, we want to hear some
Jay.
Stuff. I want to. I have so much stuff we want to hear about. I want to hear about Night of the Comet. I want to hear about just acting and all the great co-stars you've had and just your career. And I have to add, you have these beautiful blue eyes. Mm-hmm. Unbelievable. Stunning.
Gorgeous.
Stunning. Yes. So when we come back, we're going to hear more at Rick's Martini Bar.
Let's swing on down to Ricky's Place, where the girls are refined and the men have good taste.
Back at Rick's Martini Bar with Jerry McCarty, and we're talking to Sharon Farrell.
Yo, you little girl, I smack you around, and you smack me around.
I'm Kelly Maroney. I did a movie with Sharon Farrell. I was lucky enough to have her play my stepmom in Night of the Comet, and she smacked me around.
I know. I didn't. When I smacked you, I didn't think you were going to hit me back.
Wasn't that was in the script?
I know, but I didn't know you were going to really hit me back. And then you kept saying, "Well, just let me have one."
Well, you know
why? How many times did we smack each other?
Well, it wasn't as bad as it could have been because my experience—I did this on the soap with Louise Schaefer, and our experience was that when we tried to do stage slaps, we kept doing it over and over again because they couldn't get it. It didn't look right on camera, so they have to do it again, and you started to really hurt yourself. And so I finally said, you know, come on, as I said to you, come on, Louise, just hit me. Let's get this over with so that it looked real.
And you really, she really did say that to me.
Really?
I said, yeah. I said, come on, Sharon, just
nobody
hit me.
Nobody says that. Nobody says that.
Because otherwise we'd be standing there and we'd hurt, not by being slapped, but it starts to hurt in different ways and it's worse, I think. Well, I didn't mean to hurt you. I'm sorry. That's the first time I've heard that. Oh, she's teasing me.
No. It was Steve Hill hurt me. He knocked me out.
Unconscious.
He knocked me unconscious. But no, you were fun.
And then
you were adorable.
Then Che Guevara came in and rescued you?
Oh, well, actually, that night, I left the set and I went home and I went to bed. I woke up because everybody was having a big party and we were all supposed to meet in the lobby. And I went downstairs and everybody had left. And there was this Cuban gal that comes over and she says, what happened today? Why did he hit you like that? I said, oh, it was just a long story. It was an accident. She says, I don't know. He was laughing about it later. I think he was kind of mean. I said, she says, come with me. We'll go to a better party. Mm. She says, but you can't tell anybody because we're not supposed to do this. I said, okay. So we went up to the 15th floor, and that was where Che Guevara was, where I met him, and Fidel Castro.
Wow.
And Fidel was having this great party. It was just, like, incredible. And I was this little blonde thing.
Sure.
I came in there, you know, how Latins love blondes. Mm-hmm. And he just said to me, he said, oh, he called me pobrecita animalita de Dios, which means poor little animal of God. It's like some kind of like an endearment kind of thing, you know. And I'll tell you, I'm easy. Sorry about that. But I took one look. The room was full of these, they called them barbudos, and they were like these army guys, all in these fatigues and stuff. And that's who they were entertaining. He says, you pick any man in here, any single one, and he will be your guard. He will be your Latin lover. He will take care of you through the shoot, and you are invited to come up here. None of the other cast is. Nobody else. There was one lady. Her name was Eleanor Stetson, and her husband was like, he was a grip, or he was on the crew and stuff. She was allowed, and she actually traded in our per diem for money, and we didn't have to pay. Oh, she was just great because she just made our per diems like twice as much money as they were. And because she was a friend of Castro's. And so she said, any man, any, just pick one of these fellows, you know, anyone you want. And there was this one guy, and he was standing like this with his hands on his hip, and he was just looking at me. And he came up, and he took my hand, and he kissed the inside of my hand. And it was Che.
Wow.
And we stayed there. He fed me. He fed me my whole meal. And then we went off on his motorcycle later. And then we got back, and there had been a bombing. And he had to run off, so I didn't get together with him that night. But it was like, you know, I think it was the next day or something. Next day, we got together, and I stayed in Cuba for a little while. He drove me around and showed me places where the revolution started and stuff. He didn't show me. I did not know that they were like killing people. I didn't know they were lining people up and doing mass. I didn't know that he was. Yeah. I didn't know what he was doing. I thought he was like my Prince Charming. He taught me how to do, you know, he taught me how to shoot the machine gun. And
wow.
I just ran around with him during the daytime on his motorcycle. And,
wow. You're a part of history.
Yeah, it was great. I was going to go back there. Kind of rationalize my life. My whole life is like one rationalization after another, especially with my men. So.
We have to take another commercial, and then we have one segment left. But we have so much we got to go through still. Get the book, Sharon Farrell, Hollywood Princess from Sioux City, Iowa, by going to SharonFarrell.com, and we will be back.
It's also on Amazon or any of that, but
message.
Sharon.
Yeah, go to Amazon and then click through our site, and
we'll
get a little taste. We'll be back right after this message at Rick's Martini Bar.
Let's swing on down to Ricky's place. The girls are refined and the men have good taste.
We are back at Rick's Martini Bar with the lovely Kelly Maroney and the lovely Sharon Farrell, and we are talking about Sharon's great life in Hollywood. Sharon Farrell, Hollywood Princess from Sioux City, Iowa. Sharon, Kelly's got tons of questions. I have tons of questions, but I will be happy if we can talk about Hawaii 5-0 for 5 seconds.
Okie dokie, you got it.
Okay, so you were on that show, a female police officer, the first one in there. That was probably, was that after Angie Dickinson did Policewoman? Because I know you were on that show too, right?
You know, I don't know.
Pre Cagney and Lacey. That you were a detective.
Timelines I'm not good with.
Yeah.
I can't remember when I did anything.
A groundbreaking woman's role.
Was great. I played a cop on Hawaii 5-0 and I was part of the team, which was great. And William Smith was in it too.
That's right, big William Smith.
Yeah. He's over at the Motion Picture Hospital now.
Oh, is he really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's too bad. That guy was built like a just strong.
He wanted to kill Jack Lord.
I mean,
you can see his jaw clenching. he held back. He was trying to prove that he was like easy to work with. And you know, because he used to ride motorcycles through sets and things. He had a very bad reputation. So he did the show because he wanted to prove, you know, that he was reliable and nice to work with and stuff like that. And Jack Lord was just, you know, Jack could be very cruel to people.
Wow.
Very, very cruel.
Well, I think you should, that is the one remake, the reboot, or whatever you want to call it, of a TV show. I think that new show is really good.
I do, too.
I think you should be on it. I think they should
It was so funny
Sharon
because
back on
there
show.
Was one show where we got together, and, well, also I had a Hawaiian husband who got shot, and I thought, well, that girl could be my daughter, you know, she could be, or my granddaughter, or something like that, because I was with a Hawaiian who was a cop on Hawaii 5-0, and he gets shot, and then I take over, and I go, and I find the killers, and Jack puts me back on the show, you know, part of the team. He puts me on the Hawaii 5-0 team. But I'm thinking, gosh, I love that girl. I think she's so gorgeous and everything.
Yeah.
And I thought, golly, I was with an Hawaiian now. How in the world, how could I get on that show? How could I get back on that show? Because I really like that show.
That's good.
I love that show.
It's a pretty good gig because you can live on Hawaii and do that show, right?
Well, you work 6 days a week, though.
Oh.
You know, it's like, you know, and also you get island fever after a while, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, I mean, I have a place in the Banga Island, in the Fiji Islands. And you get island, you know, there's only so long you can stay on an island. You got to get off that island.
Cool.
And same with the Oahu, you know, same with the, yeah.
Well, we're short on time, but I know Kelly has got some questions.
Oh, so on the cover of this book, Sharon Farrell, Hollywood Princess from Sioux City, Iowa, there's a picture, a gorgeous picture, and Steve McQueen took it of you. Is that right?
Yes. You can see the people behind. They're all like, there's a whole bunch of people with cameras, and they're all taking a picture. And it looks like they're taking a picture of me. But actually, they're taking a picture of Steve taking a picture of me. And I used this because it was my camera, and I owned the photograph, and I wasn't going to get sued by anybody. So I could
use that. What show did you meet him on?
I met him on the Reavers.
Mm-hmm.
I met him on the Reavers. And I was a Pulitzer Prize winning, you know, novelist, William Faulkner, and Irving and Harriet Ravitch did the screenplay, and it was fabulous. I mean, it was just a beautiful, beautifully written, and it's still a sweet movie. It's a very nice movie. And I had an affair with Steve for years and years and years. And when I had my baby, when I had Chance, who mm-hmm. you worked with on Night of the Comet, mm-hmm. Chance was just a little guy, and Kelly was so sweet to him. Mm-hmm. Oh, he had
great
such
kid.
A crush on
oh,
Kelly.
He did?
Oh,
I didn't
yes.
know that.
Oh, he just loved you to pieces. And I can't even remember what I was talking. Oh, well, when I had Chance, I had an embolism and my heart stopped for 5 minutes. So it took me like 3 years to like learn to read, write, walk, and talk again.
God.
And you know, when you're hot, you're hot. And I was very hot after the Reavers, but my career just took a dive. I couldn't talk about it. Steve said, "Keep your mouth shut,"
uh-huh.
because people will think you can't memorize your lines.
Right.
They'll think you have brain damage.
Right.
I said, "Well, how do I do this?" Joan Hackett used to come and sit on a set with me. She'd sit in my dressing room and she'd tell me where to go and what to move and what to say. And finally things started coming back. Mm-hmm. I went through a lot of therapies. I was hypnotized, and I did, you know, I did all of this crazy stuff trying to get my memory back. I went to this one psychiatrist, and he said, "Sharon, you know, you are a pretty mixed up little girl. So there's some things maybe you'd just like to forget." Go on from now. Go on from here and have a great life, you know? Well, you live long enough, you go through everything.
That's right. There's not anybody over 21 that doesn't have at least a couple of stories.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And Kelly, I'll be buying your book soon.
Oh, well, I have to wait till everybody dies.
Well, that's kind of what
honestly,
I did.
I don't have
anybody. I don't have anybody in here that's alive and working. Oh, and they're like, mm-hmm. "Well, I told you at lunch mm-hmm. about a couple of them." But mm-hmm. I don't have those people in the book because I want to work again,
right.
You know?
Right.
I don't want to get anybody in trouble that's been still married to the same person.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's one thing to talk about your own life. It's another thing to involve other people.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, you don't want to hurt anybody.
Yeah. Time's up already? Wow, that's short. That's true. So let's tell them again how they can get a hold of you and get a hold of your book. You have a Facebook. You have a
yeah.
A
I'm on Facebook, mm-hmm. Sharon Farrell,
mm-hmm.
and I'm also I just SharonFarrell.com, and the book is on Amazon.com, mm-hmm. and it, you know, Sharon Farrell, you know, Hollywood Princess from Sioux City, Iowa. But that's like a mouthful. It's just easier to go to my website, I think, SharonFarrell.com.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, you buy the autograph, and I'll send you the book free.
Plus a surprise.
Yes, a surprise. A surprise.
So thank you so much for being here.
It was so fun. I had a great time.
We got so many more stories. You got to have you back sometime, maybe.
Yes,
and we got here because I got James Garner questions. I've got so many questions. Bruce Lee questions. I've got all these questions.
Bruce
but
Lee,
James had a great,
love of mine too.
Great career with a lot of legends, and you're a legend, Sharon Farrell. So thank you for being here. For the lovely Kelly Maroney, my name is Jerry McCarty, and for Sharon Farrell at SharonFarrell.com, cheers from Rick's Martini Bar.
Let's have another one.
Let's swing on down to Ricky's place, where the girls are refined and the men have good taste. A subtle joke, a touch of class, poured in a tall martini glass. Let's swing 'em down to Ricky's Down.